A few minutes that we have left this morning, I want us to look into the heart of Jesus about missions. So Matthew chapter 9, I don't always, or I guess even usually, title sermons, but someone asked me specifically for a sermon title when I was going to preach this message, and so I thought of one. The title of the message is, Who Cares About Missions? And part of it is that I wanted it to be kind of a play on words. So, who cares about missions? Obviously, Jesus cares about missions, right? But it could be possible that our attitude towards missions is, well, who cares? That's somebody else's job. Hopefully, that's not the case. But who cares about missions? If you'll turn, if you'll start reading with me in verse 27 of this chapter, Jesus has been performing some miracles. He just healed the woman with a blood condition, and he just raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. So Jesus is out performing miracles, doing miraculous things, showing his power. And then if you continue in verse 27, it says, And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that you tell that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So who cares about missions? This is not a complex or a deep sermon. I just want us to think for a few minutes about what Jesus' heart was, what his heart is, the problem that he pointed out, and what we can do to be a part of the solution. So, Jesus is out doing what he is supposed to do. He's out doing miraculous things. This had never, if you remember from the Old Testament history, there had actually been a period of 400 years since there was a recorded prophet or anything in the Old Testament. But people were still looking for the coming Messiah. There were people falsely rising up as messiahs, mostly trying to show that they're going to overthrow the government that they're slaves under. But Jesus was the true Messiah. He's here, and he's showing signs. Remember, John the Baptist was thrown into prison. He asked, he asked, is this really the one that we're looking for, or are we looking for somebody else? And Jesus told him, go and tell John that the lame are walking, that the blind are seeing. And they went back and reported that to John. But Jesus was out doing everything that he is supposed to be doing. In verse 35, it says he went to the cities and villages, teaching, preaching, healing. He was out there doing God's work. But we see in verse 36, we get a glimpse of a window into his heart. It says, but when he saw the multitudes. So I mean, ministry can happen to multitudes, but Jesus was exercising, I guess you could say, personal touches, right? I mean, he did have the Sermon on the Mount where he's preaching to, you know, maybe thousands of people. We don't know how many were there for sure, but we do know at the feeding of the 5,000, there was at least 5,000 there, right? So there is a lot of people out there listening to him, and he did preach to multitudes of people. But then he took time with individual people. I mean, could you imagine if you were, if you had some illness or malady or something that you've been dealing with for maybe your whole life or maybe a few years or whatever, but could you imagine thinking like, oh, wow, I heard that this Jesus of Nazareth is healing people. And could you imagine going to find him and he's busily helping everyone doing things, and then Jesus would take a moment to look you in the eye and hear what you had to say and then take care of the problem that you had? I mean, Jesus had some personal touches that he put on people's lives. In fact, that woman with the issue of blood, remember, she was like, her faith was, if I can just grab the bottom of his garment, I'll be fine. You know, and, you know, even Jesus stopped everybody. He's like, who touched me? And wasn't it Peter who called him out and was like, what are you talking about? You know, like, everyone's around here. What do you mean, who touched you? Because probably everyone's bumping up against everyone. But Jesus intentionally stopped and wanted to see that woman and interacted with her personally. So Jesus had that personal touch. But then when he saw the multitudes of people, like, his heart was just moved with compassion, is what the Bible says. He saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. And he saw them as souls who needed a Savior. We know that the Son of Man was come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's Jesus' heart to reach the multitudes. But then Jesus declares a problem when he has his heart touched for the need of the multitudes. But then he declares a problem. And what is the problem? It's that the harvest, he says in verse 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That is the problem. And you know, that problem is still a problem today. It was a problem then, it's a problem today. Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I want us to take just a couple minutes and think about what was he trying to paint a picture of with that statement. I don't know, maybe some of you are any of you into agriculture or farming or anything? Okay, at least one, okay. I'm definitely not, because I grew up in the city of Milwaukee. I did grow some tomato plants one year. I'm definitely not into agriculture. But I do know enough that when a farmer puts in all of the work to till the ground, plant the seed, keep up with the crop, water it, fertilize it, take care of it, whatever, I know that when it comes time to harvesting that crop, it's a high priority to get it harvested. And farmers are willing to pay lots of money for people who are willing to come and work at harvest time. Because if they don't get their crop harvested, it's going to go to waste. So picture a farmer who has, let's just say, hundreds or maybe thousands of acres of property that he farms. He's put in all the work to get the ground tilled, the seed planted, he's watered it. It's now harvest time. He's been having trouble getting a hold of people to work for him. Everyone is too excited about claiming extra money from unemployment from the government. And so he can't get anyone to come and work for him at harvest time. So let's say he's putting out ads online and just no one is taking him up on working. And now the farmer's like, well, at least I can go out myself with the machine and get what I can. But as he's wanting to do that, he injured himself and he's unable to use the equipment. So he has no laborers. He's unable to do anything himself. What is going to happen to his crop that he's worked hard on the entire year? You can talk out loud. So. Yeah, it'll be wasted. Yeah. It's all going to rot. All the work that he put in, you know, his income was probably in part a lot. It was going to come from being able to sell off what he's able to harvest, use some, sell some off. He's unable to gather it at all. It all just rots. It all just goes to waste. And, you know, I mean, for me, since I'm from the city, thinking about that, I'm like, well, try again next year. You know, I wouldn't feel too bad. I mean, not really. If I knew that it was going to hurt someone's livelihood, I would feel bad with them. But I guess what I'm trying to point out is that it is a problem if you lose a crop like that. But what Jesus is picturing is a harvest of eternal souls. So just like if a farmer is unable to get anyone to run his equipment to be able to gather the harvest, he's going to have his crop rot. You know, Jesus is saying that there's a harvest of souls out here, and no one is willing to sign up to work to go and harvest them. And what's going to happen if the people that need Jesus don't have anyone willing to sign up and work and go and tell them about Jesus? What is going to happen to those people? Yeah, they're going to go to hell. They will spend an eternity separated from God. And I had one kid at one time I was preaching this, and they just said, like, they're going to rot, you know, in answer to the other illustration. You know, it's really true, though. It's a sobering thing to think that if people don't hear about Jesus, they will suffer apart from God. And someone needs to go and tell them. Now, what is something that we can do as part of the solution to this problem? Jesus is the one who declared this is the problem. You know, we're not just bringing this up as making this up. This is what Jesus said was the problem when he saw the multitudes. He had solutions that he implemented and talked about right here. But I want us to just briefly consider three solutions. Although I'll ask, do you have any ideas? Maybe you have more than three. Or what would you think would be the solutions to what we can do about the need in the harvest? Yes, prayer. Prayer is one for sure, yes. Support missionaries, yes. Yes, be a laborer yourself, yes. Those are my three. Does anyone else have another good one? I'll extend my outline out too if someone else has something good. Yeah, we have the opportunity to fix this problem by praying, by giving, by going. Jesus says right here in verse 38, he says right after that, he says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And you cannot underestimate the importance of prayer. In some ways you could think, well, you could cynically think, well, God has it handled, right? He has it figured out. Well, God is the one who told us to pray that laborers would be sent into his harvest. He wants us to participate in this. If he wanted to take care of it all automatically, he wouldn't have asked us to be involved. Somehow, in God's sovereignty, he has chosen to make us responsible for his commission. It's an amazing thing that he has chosen to use imperfect people to carry out his perfect plan. I don't understand how that works. If you do, please come and inform me afterwards, right? We don't know. God's ways are so much higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. But God tells us to pray that God will send forth laborers into his harvest. And pray for your missionaries while they're there on the field too. I can tell that people are praying for us while we're on the road with Deputation. And by the way, I'll just say, I meant to say this in my presentation, I forgot. So this is just, the Lord has been great to us. We just now have crossed 54% in our support. So our plan is that we want to be fully supported on the field by the end of next year. So that's just a parenthesis, but I wanted to say that, and I didn't think I'd remember later. But pray that we'll get there fast. Pray that we will get there when we're having a goal to get there. Pray that God will send more people, that they would be willing to go. I didn't know that this was going to happen at the time. It doesn't always happen like this, but sometimes when you pray that God will send someone into the harvest, He ends up sending you. That actually happened to me, and I didn't think it was going to. I was in Hungary to meet Ramona's parents to ask their permission to marry their daughter, and I was actually in a small church plant in Budapest, which the church unfortunately had to liquidate. But I remember in a prayer meeting that they had on a Wednesday night, I prayed specifically that God would send someone to reach the 2 million people in the city of Budapest. I prayed in English, so only maybe half the people understood me, but I remember specifically praying that, and I didn't know that about 4 years later that God would call me to go to Hungary as a missionary myself, specifically to Budapest. So I'm not saying be careful of what you pray for, but pray that God will send people into the harvest field. And by the way, I don't regret going there at all. You follow the will of God. God says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, He says His will is good, acceptable, and perfect. So God's will is not just good, acceptable, and perfect to God, but it will be to you as well. You follow the will of God, you will love what you're doing. So for me, I don't feel like it's a sacrifice to be going as a missionary to Hungary, because it's what God's called me to, and I'm excited about it. So don't be afraid of following the will of God. But pray that God will send laborers out. And then give so that missionaries can go. There are a passage in Romans chapter 10. We're familiar with, we use this a lot when we share the gospel with people. Verse 13, Romans 10, 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is an awesome thing. It goes on to say, How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And the Apostle Paul said, when he was going different places, he told, I think it was the Philippian church, he said, "It's not that I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit might abound unto your account." So give so that missionaries can go is one solution. And then the third one is to go yourself. And this is something that Jesus did right here. If you look at chapter 10, this isn't usually when, at least when I heard messages on Matthew 9, I didn't hear people talk about chapter 10 very much after that, because there's plenty in verse 9 and chapter 9 as well. But this is where Jesus sends out His disciples two by two. And actually, in the book of Luke, which is a parallel passage to this, He actually uses this problem declaration in the midst of sending people out. You can look if you want, but I'll just read it for you. Luke chapter 10, it says, "And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore, He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." So it wasn't just that Jesus says, "I'm moved with compassion. Please pray that God says somebody." Jesus did something about it right then. He was sending His disciples to reach them then. And it's God's will that people go and tell people about him. And maybe God would call some in this room to go to a different country and share the gospel with people. God is calling everyone to share Jesus right where you are. But maybe God would call some here. Maybe God would call some of your children or your grandchildren to go. And are you willing to be behind them going? Are you willing to go yourself if God directs you to do that? The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We need people who are willing to get their hands dirty and work in the harvest field of souls. It is work, by the way. It's maybe not as back-breaking work, but it's very difficult work to go and win souls, to tell people about Jesus. Someone has to do it. You should be doing it right where you are. But the harvest will continue to be plenteous, but you can be a solution to the laborer crisis. You can go win people yourself. You can give so others can go. You can pray that God would send people to go into his harvest. So Jesus' heart is that he was moved with compassion upon the multitudes. I'm sure probably no one actually has the perspective about like who cares about missions. I don't think anyone would say it that callous, at least in this room. But sometimes we could be indifferent. But we do know someone who does care about missions, and that is Jesus. And if he was here today, I mean, he would be trying to win people himself, and it would still be his heart that laborers would be thrust forth into the harvest. So let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share the burden that you've put on our hearts to reach hungry with the gospel. Lord, I thank you for this church and their heart for missions. And I just pray that you would continue to bless this church. Would you help us all to do the part that you want us to be a part of in solving this labor crisis? Lord, help us to be fervent in prayer. Help us to be obedient and giving. Help us to be willing to go. And Lord, I pray that we would bring glory to your name and accomplish everything that you want us to accomplish. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.